Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Viral Justice: How We Grow the World We Want by Ruha Benjamin. Is a 2022 nonfiction book that blends memoir, social critique, and political imagination. Benjamin, a Princeton professor of African-American studies and the founder of the Ida B. Wells Just Data Lab, uses the disruptions of the COVID-19 pandemic and the broader crisis of anti-Black racism to argue that social change can spread through everyday practices as well as institutional reform. Rather than treating justice as a distant ideal, the book presents it as something built through repeated acts of care, accountability, and community connection. Its purpose is both analytical and practical to show how systems such as healthcare, schooling, and criminal justice reproduce inequality, and to identify ordinary choices that can help interrupt those patterns. The book is also shaped by Benjamin's own experiences with family loss, motherhood, and organizing, which give the argument a personal and grounded perspective. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, weathering shows how racism becomes a public health burden. A central idea in the book is weathering, a term from public health that describes the cumulative damage caused by chronic exposure to social stress, racism, and oppression. Benjamin uses this concept to explain why injustice is not only a political or moral problem, but also a bodily one. The effects do not remain abstract. They show up in illness, premature death, and the exhaustion that follows people across years and generations. This framework matters because it shifts attention from isolated harmful events to long-term structural exposure. Benjamin argues that if oppression can accumulate through daily life, then care and resistance can also accumulate in the opposite direction. That is why she emphasizes acts such as mutual aid, neighborly support, and relationship building. These are not presented as sentimental extras. They are practical responses to the wear that systems impose. By centering weathering, the book links health justice to racial justice and makes the case that social environments can either damage or sustain human life. Secondly, schools are treated as systems that reproduce racial and class inequality. Benjamin presents education as one of the clearest examples of how inequality becomes normalized. She describes the American school system as shaped by racial and class segregation, with funding and opportunity often tied to property wealth rather than student need. In that sense, schools do not merely reflect inequality from outside, they help organize it. The book argues that this structure limits what children are able to learn, who receives support, and which communities are treated as worthy of investment. Benjamin does not stop at diagnosis. She calls for targeted investment in Black students and for school environments that build empathy and solidarity rather than hierarchy. This includes replacing punitive discipline models with mediation and restorative justice. The significance of this argument is that it reframes school reform as more than test scores or administrative efficiency. It asks what kind of social relationship schools create. If schools teach children how to live together, then segregation and punishment teach distrust. If they are redesigned around care, accountability, and fairness, they can become places where broader social repair begins. Thirdly, small everyday actions are presented as the engine of viral social change. The book's title reflects Benjamin's argument that justice can spread in ways analogous to a virus, not in the sense of harm, but in the sense of replication through contact and connection. She is interested in how small decisions, habits, and interactions can travel across families, neighborhoods, and institutions. This is a deliberate challenge to the idea that only large-scale policy changes matter. Benjamin does not reject structural reform, but she argues that social movements also depend on repeated ordinary practices that make new forms of relation possible. These can include choosing to help, speaking up, sharing resources, or creating spaces of accountability. The point is that a single action may seem minor, yet its effects can multiply through networks of trust and example. This concept gives the book its practical edge. It offers readers a way to think about agency without pretending that individual effort alone can solve structural oppression. Viral justice is therefore an orientation toward social change, one that connects personal conduct to collective transformation and treats small interventions as meaningful parts of larger political ecosystems. Fourthly, memoir gives the argument moral force by grounding theory in lived experience. Although viral justice is a social analysis, it is also a memoir shaped by Benjamin's family history and personal experiences. She draws on her father's death, her brother's encounters with the criminal justice system, and her own experience as a young mother to show how structural inequality appears in intimate life. This matters because it prevents the book from remaining purely theoretical. The reader sees how racism, policing, and healthcare inequity are not just systems of abstraction, but forces that affect bodies, families, and daily decisions. The memoir form also allows Benjamin to connect critique with reflection on care, grief, and survival. Rather than using personal narrative as decoration, she uses it as evidence of how social structures enter ordinary life. This gives the book emotional credibility while keeping its political claims intact. It also helps explain why the book insists on hope without naivete. Benjamin is not denying pain or loss. She is showing how people continue to build support, find dignity, and act together even under pressure. That combination of critique and testimony is one of the book's defining features. Lastly, the book offers a hopeful framework for justice without denying structural harm. One of the book's most distinctive qualities is its refusal to choose between realism and hope. Benjamin is clear that racism, anti-Black violence, and institutional neglect are deeply embedded in American life. At the same time, she argues that despair is politically limiting, because it can make harmful systems seem inevitable. Her answer is not optimism in the shallow sense, but a disciplined belief that people can create better conditions through sustained collective practice. This is why the book has been received as both analytical and inspirational. It does not offer a simple program or a neat set of solutions, but it does provide a framework for thinking about justice as something that can be cultivated. That framework is especially useful for readers who want to understand how individual ethics, community care, and systemic change can work together. Compared with many books on racial justice, Viral Justice stands out because it joins critique with constructive imagination. It asks not only what is broken, but how people can begin living differently now, in ways that make broader transformation more plausible. In conclusion, Viral Justice is best suited for readers interested in racial justice, public health, education, social movements, and the relationship between personal practice and structural change. It will especially appeal to those who want a book that is intellectually serious without being detached from lived experience. Scholars, activists, educators, healthcare workers, and general readers looking for a rigorous but accessible account of how inequality operates will find a lot to work with here. Its practical value lies in the way it links large systems to ordinary behavior, showing how care, accountability, and mutual aid can function as part of political work. Its intellectual value comes from the clarity of its framework, weathering, viral change, and restorative, rather than punitive approaches to harm. What distinguishes it from many books in the same field is its form. It is not only critique, manifesto, or memoir, but a combination of all three. That gives it both urgency and texture. Instead of presenting justice as a distant endpoint, Benjamin describes it as something people can begin practicing now, in relationships, schools, and communities. If you would like to support Ruha Benjamin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.